as we started journey groups this year, we reflected on that, I thought, you know, there's certain core and fundamental things that are important to a journey group. And then as we reflected more on those things, they're sort of virtues or realities that we all need in our lives in order to brace ourselves for what we will face in life. Because we know that there are hard times coming in everyone's life. It may not be today, it may not be next week, it may not be next year, but they are coming. And many of you guys have already faced really harsh and hard things and hard realities in your life. It may have been in your homes, may have been close family members who passed away, may have been a broken marriage with your parents or another family member that you were closer to or whatever. There are all sorts of things that we face throughout life that are hard. And those things have a tendency to derail us or shake our foundations in a lot of ways. And that's what this study's been about, is how do you build the kind of relationships and reality, I suppose, in your life that will brace you for the things ahead. Some of you guys are in middle school, and you're going off to high school. You know what? When you hit high school, there's going to be some new realities that are hard. Some new people that you have to deal with that you've never had to deal with before, and they're not going to be fun. They're going to be challenging and difficult. Some of you guys are near the end of high school. Harbin and Jonathan up here fired up. And you're going off to college or into a career of some kind, and you know what? You're going to meet people who aren't like the people in this room, that are harsh and unkind, uninterested in you, uncaring towards you, and those kinds of things. And they are going to be hurtful in ways and shake your foundations in some ways that maybe you haven't experienced before. So the point of this study is to kind of build those core things into our lives so that we're ready for what's ahead. We've talked about kindness. Kindness is just basically what causes other people to love us. You know, when you treat other people with kindness, you know what? They really like to be around you. We live in a world that's harsh and mean and cruel and malicious. And being around people who are kind is an exciting, enjoyable thing. You know, it's a pleasure to be with someone who knows how to treat you well and to be kind to you and carries themselves with kindness. Confidentiality, you know, is the ability to keep a secret, to keep things close to you, not talking about other people, not bashing or tearing down other people, not communicating things to others. Learning to recognize the value of trust in a relationship and hold on to that and make it a priority. And learning to be a trusted person as well as learning to trust others is a big part of learning to exist in a community where you can find help and encouragement like the church that we're in today. And then the next one is encouragement, which is not tearing down. We talked about how that no unwholesome words should proceed from our mouths except that which is useful to build up, to affirm. Always amazed, guys, how Pastor Jason and I will teach on something, and then a week later we'll see it happening. And I'll think, you know, guys, we just taught on that. Did you hear what we said? You know, about that. But it's easy, isn't it? No matter how many times we hear something, it's easy to fall into those old routines. And that's true, particularly with this tendency to be negative or to tear down. We can have a tendency to tear down so quickly with our mouths, to rip people apart or to react to them or retaliate towards them or whatever it is, instead of being encouraging, affirming, those kinds of things. And tonight we're talking about growth. And this last one sort of pulls everything together to make it, because it really connects the other three. The key to spiritual growth, or as you develop and grow spiritually, the other three become realities in your life. Emily, can you bring me that bottle of water, please? I'm going to need it. But the reality is, as you grow spiritually, I don't mean physical growth, because you guys are growing, most of you guys, week to week growing. Some of you guys have already gotten there. You're as tall as you're going to get, like me. Hey, it is what it is. But everybody's growing on some level. Now, what we're talking about here tonight is spiritual growth. And it's a key component. As you grow spiritually, the other things begin to take care of themselves. As we begin to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, you know what? We become more kind. We learn more the value of trust. We become honest people who can keep something to ourselves. And we become encouragers because we have positive things happen in our lives and we want to share positive things with other people instead of tearing down. We have the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to convict us and to show us things that are right and wrong and to lead us in the right path. That's what happens as we grow spiritually. So this last one in a lot of ways sums up the other three. And it's going to bring together the key component in your life for accomplishing this and embracing yourself as a Christian in this Christian community as we live together as believers. So, growth is a key one. Now, let me say as we start to study, we're going to be studying out of 2 Peter chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start there. Let me say this as we talk about this concept of spiritual growth. Is you cannot grow spiritually unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There is no spiritual life in you apart from Jesus Christ. That's the starting point. That until we meet Him, until we recognize that we're sinners and we're in desperate need of a Savior, and we confess that sin before Him, repent of sin, put our faith and trust in Him through what He accomplished on the cross, His death and then His resurrection, that we believe that He both died on the cross and rose again, when we put our faith and trust in that, we are saved. And that point of salvation is that transformative part at point in our lives. Until that point, guys, you are spiritually dead. To be dead means to be separated from God. If you've never had that experience with Jesus Christ in your life, if you can't look back to a day, to a time, not necessarily a specific date, but to a season of your life, you know that during that time there was a point where you came to a crossroads in your life. And you had to make a decision. Am I going to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, or am I not? If you've never come to that point, then you're spiritually dead. There is no spiritual growth for you. You have to make that decision. That's the starting point for all of us. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Is he supposed to enter into his mother's womb a second time? Kind of freaked Nicodemus out. He's like, whoa, what do you mean born again? And Jesus said he must be born of water and the Spirit, which means he must be born of this life, but then he must be born, and the water is probably a picture of baptism, that death that must occur in his life so that he can be raised to new life. It's a picture of that experience of faith, that experience of salvation, a rebirth that's necessary in all of our lives. If you don't have that experience, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is clear. He doesn't mince words about it. So, as we talk about all these other things, you can kind of learn to be a kind person. You can kind of learn to keep a confidence, to keep things to yourself, to be a trustworthy person. And you can be a pretty encouraging person and never know Jesus. But you can't do spiritual growth apart from Jesus. It just doesn't happen. It's impossible. There is no life, so there's nothing to grow. So as we look at this picture of spiritual growth out of 2 Peter chapter 3, imagine a tree. So if you guys ever planted a tree or helped your parents plant a tree, anybody ever done that? James has done it, a few of you guys. So you had to dig a pretty big hole, right? What did you have to brace the tree at all? What did you have to do, James? What did you do? Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why did you have to do that? It's going to do whatever, go crooked, go to a different direction. And if a heavy storm comes, what's going to happen? Yeah, it's going to knock it down. Why? It's weak. Why is it weak? Because it's not rooted. It doesn't have roots. It's weak. Because it's young, a baby. Who said that? Yes, Coleman. It's a baby. It's a baby tree. And a baby tree is weak. It needs to grow strong. If it doesn't grow strong, It'll always be weak. And when a storm comes, it's going to blow the tree over. Things are going to die right there. Life ended. Same thing's true in our lives, guys. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we start as baby Christians, young, just like that young tree. And it's necessary for us to be propped up, supported in some way, while we do what? Grow, right? And we have to grow roots. We have to grow stronger, strength. And how does that process happen, that growth process happen in our lives? It's very important because a whole lot of Christians spend their whole lives as a baby tree. They never grow. They never get those roots. They never learn the truth of the Word of God in such a way as to learn and become strong trees. And then what happens is in their lives, a storm comes in. It might be the storm of bankruptcy or a spouse who was unfaithful, or it could be a terrible disease or even a not-so-terrible disease. Whatever it is that happens and that thing comes in their lives, man, they just get knocked right over because they have no foundation. Spiritual growth is the key to developing and growing that strength in your life. Tonight, we're going to talk about how to experience that strength. Josiah, what you got? Good. Can you quote it? By chance? Okay. I never could, so I can't say I forgot it. I can say parts of it. Yes, that's good. I actually had it marked because I wanted to read that. Josiah said, Psalm 1 is a great example of this. Listen to this, guys. It's a powerful set of verses. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners. In other words, he doesn't hang out with people who are doing wicked and sinful things, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, that is on the word of God, he meditates day and night. Now listen to what it says about this man, this person. He is like a tree. Great analogy, right? Josiah nailed it. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. It's a picture of a tree by streams of water. Its leaves never wither. Why? Because there's water nearby. Well, the water is the truth of the Word of God. This is talking about spiritual growth. In order to become a tree like that, in order to become mature and strong for our lives, you have to experience this thing called spiritual growth. So, thank you, Josiah. Excellent example. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. If you have your Bibles turned there, let's look at this verse. Now, Peter was writing to a group of people who were facing persecution. I've told you guys about this book before. It's probably during the time of Nero. Nero was a terrible ruler. In fact, history tells us that he lit the gardens of his mansion, of his palace, with the bodies of the saints, that he put on posts, impaled them on posts and lit them on fire as lamps for his backyard, which is an awful thing. I mean, Nero was a terrible emperor, harsh and brutal in everything he did. It's likely these people were facing that type of persecution. They were at the very least facing persecution among a people, the Roman peoples who just despised and hated Christianity as a sect in that region. So these people were scattered throughout the Roman Empire. And Peter's writing to them in this second book, 2 Peter, to warn them about some people that were going to come in that were going to cause problems for them. So look down in 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 17. Let's start there. He says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. All right, let's go back to verse 17. In verse 17, he says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand. Knowing what beforehand? You have to look back at the previous chapter to understand what he's talking about. When he says knowing this beforehand, he's talking about the fact that false teachers are going to come in. These are going to be people who come in and try to steer the Christians in these churches away from their faith in Christ. Now, it's likely these people were what are called antinomians. Harvin, you know what antinomianism is? Or Graham?
Like Gnosticism?
A little bit different. Similar. Graham, what's antinomianism?
It's like people who say sin that grace may abound.
Explain that. Yes, an antinomian would basically say the word nom means a rule or a law. And they basically would say, we don't have any rules. That God saved us. And because God saved us, then grace abounds, man. He covered all our sins, so what can we do? Yeah, right? How would you like that? Let's just, I mean, eat, drink, and be merry. We can do whatever because Jesus died for our sins. That's the mindset. It's a lawless mindset. There are no rules. We can do whatever we want, okay? And it was likely that that's the kind of people that were coming into the church. And Peter warns them about these people, and he says, there's coming a day when these folks are going to come in and they're going to try to lead you astray. And there are people who are going to argue that there are no rules, that we don't have to follow any rules, we don't have to do anything, we don't have to stress about that kind of thing. And they're going to challenge the idea that Jesus has even come, or if he's coming back or not, or maybe he's already come back, in which you see in chapter 3. And they say, when's Jesus coming? It's already been thousands of years since he came, and still he hasn't come. The fathers have all died, and still he hasn't come back. They're going to make those kinds of statements. And Peter reminds the believers, he says, look, a day is like 1,000 years in the eyes of God, and 1,000 years is like a day. And God is not slow in his coming, as some would count slowness, but he is patient, not desiring that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So Jesus is patient about his coming. For what reason? So that we could do what? Prepare in what way? Spiritually, that's good, but even more, Haley. What? Lead others to Christ so that people could be saved. If there's coming a day, guys, when Jesus Christ is going to come back and when the opportunity to be saved will be lost, and that the current, as Peter says in these verses above in chapter 3, that the current heaven and earth will be destroyed with an intense heat, then there won't be any more opportunity for people to be saved. And what Peter's saying is God is patient, not desiring that any would perish. His desire is that we would be saved. So he's patient in his coming until many would be saved. So when he says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, he's saying, look, I've told you in advance that these kinds of people are coming into your midst. Therefore, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people. Now, couple of principles on experiencing spiritual growth in our lives. The first one I want us to get is guard yourself against deception. Guard yourselves against deception. Look what he says in chapter 3. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people. The words take care are literally the words to guard. As a prisoner, a prison guard would guard the walls of a prison from the tower outside the edge of the prison. And he'd look over to make sure no one was getting out. He says, guard yourselves so that you are not carried away by the error of lawless people. And the concept of being carried away is to be led astray, to be led out into error. Now, what people is he talking about? When he says the error of lawless people, he's talking about people who have bought the lie. People who have said in our culture that it's okay to do anything you want to, that there's no consequences for bad choices. Have you guys met anyone like that?
Yes.
People who believe that they can do anything and get away with it. And most people in the world believe, at least according to their actions, that God is going to judge us someday for our choices and actions and sin? What do you think? You think that's true? I'm getting some, what's that mean, Kelsey? What's that mean, Kelsey? Some don't. Yeah, you get some people who do believe that God is going to come back in some way, and they will be judged in some way for their sins. But we're in a culture that buys into the idea that we can do whatever we want to, and there's no penalty, there's no consequences for our choices and our errors. Peter warns us to guard ourselves against being pulled into that. You guys are tempted and pulled into so many things in high school, middle school. Greer Spots tells a story. He's told everybody, I think, that as soon as he went to West, he said he went in the bathroom and there was people in the bathroom smoking weed. Didn't he say that over and over, Emily? That's what he's told everybody. So I asked Emily, I said, so Emily, I said, Greer said, you know, he kind of made it sound like every time you go in the bathroom at West High School, there's somebody in the bathroom smoking pot.
It's true.
Well, all right, listen up. Emily told me, just take it, James. Emily told me, well, he just happened to be in the wrong time. He happened in there at a time when there was somebody in there doing that kind of thing. But the reality is, it's true in our culture that there are all kinds of people, listen guys, that are going to say to you, it's okay to do this. It won't hurt you. You won't get in trouble. They'll say, it's okay to smoke pot. They'll say, hey man, we're having a party. Why don't you come? I mean, it's okay to have a beer. Have a little drink or whatever it is. They'll tell you that's okay. And they're going to tell you that you won't get in trouble. There won't be problems. There won't be repercussions. There won't be bad things that happen. There are going to be guys, ladies, there are going to be guys who will say to you, it's okay if we go farther physically. Because they'll say there's no repercussions. There will be guys that say that. There will. You may have heard it already. Listen up, guys. Listen up. Guys, look at me. There will be girls that will tell you the same thing. The reality is this culture has chosen to buy into the lie, to basically buy the idea that you can do whatever you want to do and there are no consequences, no repercussions of those decisions. It's what's called a lawless society, and we are becoming increasingly that way. And they desire, listen, Ryan, they desire for you to follow them into that lawlessness. Because if you don't, what are you saying to them? Huh? If you're saying to them it's wrong. Welcome back, Arvin. You're saying to them that if you're unwilling to follow them in that choice, you're saying to them that that choice is a wrong choice, and people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear it. James, what do you want to share? Too late now?
We're kind of in the moment, so I was just going to ask, why would you be surprised by that?
Why would I be surprised by that? I mean, should we, that's a good question. Should we be surprised by the actions and choices that people make in the world? No. Really, in reality, we should be surprised when people make good choices. Because the truth of the word is that all men are caught in, trapped in sin. And apart from the grace of God, no one does good. In fact, the Bible says none does good and none seeks for God. There's not even one that does anything to bring glory to God with their lives. So we should be surprised when people do well. Coleman, if Mr. Ben asks you to go back there and sit with him, you do it, and you do it now, please. Thank you very much. That's the key thing, guys. These leaders in this room, if they ask us to do something, we respect them. We do what we're asked. That's a part of what we are at Cornerstone, showing honor and respect. All right, so guard, guys, guard yourself. The reality is in this world, people are going to move to a point where they will not accept truth. They will not buy in. Paul said to Timothy, he said, there's coming a day when people will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure truth. They won't accept it. They won't accept you. They won't accept it from me. They won't accept it from this book or anywhere else. And it's going to increase. And what Peter says to these believers is guard yourself against that so that you're not led into that error. Because guys, 7th grade, 8th graders, look at me. As you move up into high school, it's going to increase. It's already a lot in middle school. Wait till you get to be a junior, senior in high school. Seniors, when you graduate, juniors, when you graduate in a year, you're going to face it at college. It's going to be more, even in the Christian colleges. Don't think that because you go to a Christian college, you're going to be insulated from it. There will be those who are going to tell you it's okay. And you know what? You're going to want to be cool. You're going to want to fit in. There are going to be times where you want to fit with the crowd, especially when you're the new guy on campus. And you have to build the kinds of things into your life so that you don't fall into this deception, that you don't buy into the lie. Look what he says. He says, take care that you're not carried away in the air of lawless people and lose your stability. Now, the word stability there describes being on a pedestal, sitting up on a firm tower. It's the word for firmness. It's like if you had a military tower and you were able to be in it and protect yourself, you were in a safe place. The reality is people draw us aside, even within the church. Did you hear that? Even within the church. There are people in this youth group right now, maybe even sitting around you, who have never accepted their faith and trust in Christ. They've never put their faith and trust in Him. They've never accepted Christ as Savior. And they will lead you into bad things. Youth groups are not immune. As you can ask Mr. Burt, the Cornerstone youth group is not immune to that. We have had bad things happen in our youth group because of choices people have made, because people in our youth group who were walking in lawlessness. Peter's not talking about just people in the world. He's telling the people in the church that there will be people who come into your church that will lead you astray. And you have to find yourself firm and guarded against it so that you don't fall into it. So, very key. Now, I want to tell a story as we transition to the next point. When I was in high school, and I got to finish up, man, I'm going long. When I was in high school, I was dating a girl in my junior or senior year. Hey, I think it was senior year. So, but I was amazed. When we started dating, I went home with her one time to her parents' house. And we walked into her parents' house. We had been somewhere doing something. And she told the biggest, boldest, bald-faced lie. Right to her parents. And I thought, wow, really? I hope they don't ask me anything because I had no idea what I needed to tell them. Because I didn't know what the story was. We hadn't had a conversation ahead of time about how to lie about this. Anyway, so I was shocked. I was like, wow. Turned out, she lied to her parents about all the time. I mean, that was a regular thing. And, I mean, I wasn't a saint. I mean, I didn't know Jesus then, and I lied some too, but not like this. I was fascinated. Well, I fell right in there. So now on the way home from wherever we were doing or whatever we were up to, we came up with a story, so we were ready to tell a lie when we got there. In fact, sometimes she would want to tell a lie when the truth would sound better than the lie. I mean, it was serious. I was amazed by that. But you know what I did? I started doing the same thing she did. I fell right into that same mindset that she was in. That's going to be true in your lives, guys. You're going to meet people who are going to draw you into those kinds of choices, and you have to stand firm against it. Okay, next thing, cultivate your spiritual life. And let's look at the rest of the verse, and we're going to be done. This won't take long. He says, take care that you are carried away, not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your stability, but instead grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, so he tells us that the instead of being carried away in the error of those who don't care about truth, instead grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does it mean to grow in the grace of Christ? It means to grow in the reality of Jesus Christ's favor in your life. Once you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this is the process that happens in our lives as we learn more of what it is to know Jesus Christ and be in relationship with Him. It's to be under His favor, to experience Him in our daily lives. And when He says grow in the grace and the knowledge, the key to understanding the grace of God in our lives and understanding the salvation that we've experienced is to know Jesus Christ. How do you know Jesus Christ? How do you know Jesus Christ? Come on now, you guys know the answer to this. Thank you, Jonathan. Through the Word of God. As you study and read the Word of God and experience it on a daily life, you learn to know Him. And that relationship is the experience whereby you learn what He's all about, what He's passionate about, what is right and what is wrong in His eyes, what it means to live for His glory and what it means to not live for His glory. So we learn to know Jesus Christ as we experience and live in a relationship with Him. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, for some of you guys, and even for me in some ways. Jesus Christ is Savior, but he's not yet Lord. We tend to like the idea that Jesus is our Savior. Because, right, I mean, I'm good with that idea that I need a Savior. Like, I recognize I'm a sinner and that I struggle. And a Savior is kind, he's gentle, he's one who's going to come alongside me and help me. But the idea that Jesus is Lord of our life is a very different thing. Because if he's Lord of your life and he's Lord of my life, what does that mean? He's in charge. It means he now has the right to say to you that you can't do that thing that you used to do. He has the right to say to you that you have to build this relationship with this person that you're struggling with or don't like very much. He has the right to make all sorts of demands, and they're all listed in this text, in this book, upon your life. And you know what? If he's Lord, you don't have the right to say no. He has freedom. So you know what? If I'm angry, he has the right in my life to say, you're not allowed to be angry. Is that cool? It doesn't feel very cool when it happens because sometimes we want to be angry. And it's hard to let go of that. So we have to choose to trust God with that and let it go. The reality is, he has to be Lord of your life. He has to be the one who is free to make demands upon your life. Now, cultivate your spiritual life. How do we go about that? And I want to finish with this. The word cultivate is a farming term, and I chose it specifically for this cultivate. Riley and Haley are helping plant a garden right now. Well, they kind of finished it. Riley and Haley and their mom, because I'm not a gardener, they planted a garden, okay? And I did build an extension to the garden. Come on. Yeah, I mean, thank you. Yeah. Put up some landscape timbers, all that kind of stuff. But they built a garden, right? And now, what they're doing now is cultivating the garden. They're working to help those seeds to be able to come up. So I set Miss Cindy up with a timer on the water hose. She got a sprinkler out there twice a day. Yeah, she left the hose on all night last year and flooded the whole side yard. So anyway, so we got a timer this year. Anyway, so we turn on, and so because the seeds need an appropriate amount of water, and then they spring up into plants, and then they have to do go what after a while? What happens all around the plants? Weeds. And then you got to come in, pull the weeds, right? Pull the weeds, pull them out. You can't grow a garden unless you spend time working in it and cultivating. The same thing is true in our spiritual lives. The key to our spiritual life, guys, to experiencing spiritual growth in our life, is that you have to cultivate your spiritual life. You have to invest in this life. No amount of Nintendo or Xbox is going to get you there. I'm sorry. I mean, and as great as soccer is, or softball or baseball or anything else, as great as those things are, they're not going to cultivate your spiritual life. Now, you may live out your faith in those contexts, but the way you cultivate a spiritual life is by spending time in the Word of God, through prayer, by showing up here on Sunday night, by connecting with your journey group on Wednesday night, and building that relationship and investing in that group, being honest and talking about things that we struggle with, building into that group. And then by serving, going out and making a difference like we did Love Week. That's the way you cultivate a spiritual life. And as you cultivate and build that spiritual life, guys, God will not disappoint. You want to learn and grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Spend time with him. He will not disappoint. He will grow you up in the faith. He will teach you what it is to know him and live for him and live for his glory. He'll teach you to be that kind person. He'll grow that in us. And you'll be an amazing, useful saint for his glory. It's an awesome thing. So, as we finish our Brace Yourself series, guys, invest in your spiritual life. Think right now. How much time have I spent with God this week? Do I even have time for him? Is he even a part of my life right now? Is he an afterthought? Or maybe when I run into an issue and I have a need. Or maybe when I just sin bad enough that I feel like I need to tell him. Or is he a daily part of your life? And you're experiencing anew every day what it is to know him and walk before him. Where are you? You got to cultivate that spiritual life. And that's what's transforming in us. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for our chance to study tonight. We pray that you would lead us as we go in for a few minutes to pray together. I ask, Lord, that you would bless that time and give us favor. And use these truths to transform us and to grow us in our relationship with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.